Lord, we come and we do. We consider it an honor to be able to go to Mexico and in your name, Jesus, in your name, make a difference in these communities. Lord, we thank you that you also send us to Haiti. Lord, you send us to Fiji and the Philippines and New Zealand. Lord, we get to touch the world right here from Hillsborough. Lord, that we have an impact here in Washington County. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning you would touch us, especially that place of the soul, Lord, the deep recesses of who we are. Lord, that we would be a people that say yes to you. No matter what, that we would say yes. Send me in, coach. Send me in. I'll swing for the fence. I'll take the shot, whatever it might be. Or some of us, we grew up and we heard these messages. And they're wrong messages, Lord. Messages that somehow you can't use us because we're of our past. But the truth is, Lord, you knew everything from the very beginning. So really, our past was the future, as far as you're concerned. You saw it all before it happened, and still you called us. And you've given us this great plan. Lord, I pray that today we would get it and we would say yes and an amen to you. Lord, no matter how old we are, in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen, church. Amen. You know, I am looking forward to really what we're going to do in this coming week at East River Fellowship. We do this annually. We fast and we pray for 48 hours. Because to me, it's like this, and I'm glad that we have used some sports analogy, because these next 48 hours that we're going to do this week, which is really on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, really for me is this. When I was an athlete, I always trained off season. You know, I would train preseason, but after a while of so much training, you're looking for the first what? The first game. You're like, man, I can't wait to get in there and show off my skills. I mean, I've been training, been lifting, I've gotten stronger, whatever it might be. I've gotten quicker. I can't wait to arise and shine. Right? That was in the contest. But as believers, we're always training. We're reading the Word of God. We're getting ourselves ready. And so for these 48 hours is really we get to hone in and make a difference. I know that God hears our prayers. I know He hears our prayers. Even this morning, right? Somebody that I hadn't seen in a while, I said, Lord, bring them here this morning. And guess what? They're here this morning. I mean, that He hears our prayers. And so we get to spend some time looking into that. So 48 hours of fasting and prayer. Now, what is fasting? Right? What is fasting? I've got a working definition for you. It says this: fasting is a voluntary withdrawing from food or drink or other natural appetites for a specific period of time. Really, fasting is not dieting. Right? There's a purpose behind the kind of biblical fasting that we do. In the Hebrew, really, the word for fasting is kind of a word meaning to cover your mouth, right? To cover it in such a way that you don't put food in it. In the Greek, it means to not have food. So fasting has to do with not eating food. You can add some other things, like sometimes people will fast media. They'll say, you know, for 48 hours, I'm not going to do any media because I want to focus, which is great, but that's really not fasting in the biblical term. Fasting has to do with really denying yourself really food or drink, that natural appetite. Because if you're like me, I mean, this flesh wants to be fed about every 15 minutes. Seriously. It never passes up a snack. It never does. It wants to just be fed. And so when I fast and pray for 48 hours, I'm beating this thing back into submission. It's like an athlete. I'm training. I'm beating it, you know, because it wants to stay home. It wants to just relax. It wants to sit in front of the TV with a bag of chips until the bag of chips are gone. Can I get an amen? Right? That's what happens to this thing. I know it surprises you because, you know, I'm built like a, you know, kind of a pro athlete, but I just seen if you guys are into fantasy. But I'm going to talk about really what biblical fasting is. We're going to look three types of biblical fasting. We're going to look at the purpose behind it as well as the benefits of biblical fasting. Here's the first thing I want you to look at. What are the three types of biblical fasting? The three types are absolute fasting, normal fasting, and partial fasting. So the first one, absolute fasting, we see it recorded in Exodus 34. That's really the first time that we hear about fasting in the Bible. And in Exodus 34, you have Moses. He goes up into the mountain, And he spends, 40 days up there with the Lord, receiving the Ten Commandments. What says that during that time, during those 40 days, he didn't eat or drink, which is really humanly impossible, aside from divine intervention. And yet, that's what he did. And so absolute fasting means that you're, for a period, you're not going to eat anything and you're not going to drink anything. And so I recommend that you only do that for a short period, not the 3 days. And in fact, you might even, if you're even thinking about this, you might want to just check with your physician, because to go without food or with drink, I mean, you can't do it. You know, I do it often. I do it for like about 8 hours, right, at night. I mean, I'm suffering for Jesus, for 8 hours. I'm like, no, okay, I'm going to get serious and I'm not going to eat or drink for 8 hours. But if you want to go beyond that, you might check with your physician. Jesus also fasted for 40 days. Remember right before he got tempted in the desert, he fasted. In fact, he was real weak. And Jesus also taught his disciples to fast. There's no really commandment to us to fast, but it was assumed that he would. Look at Matthew 6:16. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, moreover, when you fast, not if you fast, not if you think about it. No, he's making an assumption already. They understood that fasting is part of the way we should live. When you fast, he says, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. In other words, don't make a big deal about it. Don't go to work, because you're fasted and you like attention. And you go to work and you tell your coworkers, man, I'm feeling a little dizzy. Right? Because you want your coworkers to ask you, why are you feeling dizzy? And you're like, well, I'm fasting. No, he's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Because there was a group of people in Jesus' day that just did religious stuff to be noticed. We're not going to do that. He says, for they, talking about these people, they disfigured their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. They just wanted attention. He said, assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. He goes, the reward was the attention. That's it. No, they get nothing in heaven, no rewards in heaven. They get no rewards on earth. Their reward is just the attention, which is interesting. That's why, when Chris was talking about, there was a day when he was a pro football player that he liked the applause, but then he got saved. And so he doesn't want the applause, because that'll be his reward. So we when we talk about absolute fast, we do see Jesus really expecting his disciples to fast. Fasting is what they call a spiritual discipline. We're trying to discipline ourselves. And if anybody should be disciplined, it should be you and I. Really, we should. We should be those that can say no to stuff. We should, because there was a time when we said no to nothing. Amen. We were people of access, right? We just, we want more. That's the way we were, whatever it might be. But as believers, we're to be a disciplined people, and fasting is teaching us that. We're beating our body. We're like an athlete. We're getting ourselves in shape, and we need that periodically. We need that periodically. And so as a pastor, I'm calling the church to a 48-hour time of prayer and fasting. So that was the absolute fast. Now the normal fast is what I want to talk about next. And that's really what most of us will do. A normal fast is where there's no food, only liquids, like water or juice, right? That's a normal fast. We see throughout the scriptures many, many times where people did a normal fast. One of the ones, it's interesting to me, in Judges 20. And you see this in scripture, like a one-day fast. Like one day, you're thinking, why one day? Well, life was harder back then. I mean, they didn't have drive-thru. If you wanted to eat, you went and killed it. Well, you carried it home. You had to, cut it all up, get it all ready and cook. I mean, it was a lot of work. And so a one-day fast to them was a lot, I mean, really a big sacrifice. So in Judges 20, we see in which the king calls a fast. And he calls a fast this way. Because he goes out to battle and he gets whooped bad. I mean, it's amazing how many foot soldiers they take out there and they get beat. They get a beat down. Well, after two times, he's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? So he rallies the nation. He's like, oh, let's fast and pray and inquire of the Lord. What are we doing wrong? Right? That's a good time. I don't know if you've ever gone through a season where you say, man, I'm just being clocked. Just things are not working out for me. And that's the time to fast and pray and say, Lord, what am I doing wrong? And the Lord will answer you. And so they did that in Judges 20. We see the Apostle Paul, he did a 3-day fast after he got saved. And we see several instances of 40-day fast. So that's the normal fast. Also, some people may do, and we see it in Scripture, a partial fast. A partial fast are people that maybe have physical problems like maybe diabetes, or maybe they have low blood sugar or hyperglycemia or whatever. They have some condition that might preclude them from fasting, or they might be pregnant or something, right? A legitimate thing in which you want to do a partial fast. So in a partial fast is that you omit certain foods, but you eat other foods. Like in the book of Daniel and three of his buddies did a partial fast. What it was is they'd been taken into captivity. They were the best and the brightest. They were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. They were put into the court of the Babylonian king. In other words, he was going to teach them all the Babylonian ways because he wanted to use them. They were the best and the brightest. Well, part of being in the Babylonian court is they got to eat the choice food of the king. And part of that was, I suspect, like filet mignon, a T-bone steak. But they, Daniel and his buddies, didn't want to eat that because they knew these most likely were dedicated to foreign gods or whatever. And so they said, no, I'll tell you what. And God's favor was on them. So those that were the guards that were really overseeing them, they said, do this. Will you do this for us? Will you just let us have just vegetables and water? Right? And these guys were, well, wait a minute, I'm going to get in trouble with the king if after, if I just give you vegetable and water and you just look terrible. But he said, no, do this. Just give us vegetable and water, and after a point in time, you compare us to the others that are eating the filet mignon and the T-bone steak, and we'll see who looks better. And sure enough, after the appointed time, Daniel and his buddies look good, They had good skin. They were glowing and that kind of stuff. That says something about meat. But I love a good T-bone steak anyway. With an egg on top and a couple of tortillas, but don't get me going. Because I'm starting to get hungry now. But you have also Elijah a couple of times where he does a partial fast. So we might do an absolute fast. We might do a normal fast, even a partial fast. Even people that want to do a partial fast, I said, start with a normal fast. I mean, at least give it a try, right? And if it's going to be a little bit difficult for you, then you can kind of switch to one of the others, because it will. Your body is going to scream. If you've never fasted, your body, you're going to find out. I mean, stuff's going to surface. Like, you're going to be short. You got to warn people around you, right? I might be a little bit, a little bit short, because that stuff that's in here begins to come out. I remember the first time that I fasted, the very first time, I thought I was dying. I kid you not, I'm taking my pulse. Like, am I dying? Right? I mean, seriously, I'm like, this is, I'm thinking, I see the light, right? I mean, that's how bad it got with me. In fact, I was getting ready to ask Pam to run me into the ER. I thought I was dying. And all that I'd done by that time was just miss two meals. Two meals, and I'm thinking, it's the big one. You know what? I realized that, man, I got this problem with food. I mean, seriously, that's what it surfaced. Like, oh my gosh, I got this issue with food, and I've conquered it now. Okay, I'm lying. I'm working on it, okay? I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm better than I was back then, okay? So once again, the three types of fast, the absolute fast, the normal fast, the partial fast. Now, what's the purpose of fasting? The purpose of fasting is really to take a time, a focused time, to seek the Lord. See, we live in a noisy day. You and I, man, we're always running. We're always running. Every day we're running. For instance, you moms, I can't believe, you get up early. You get up early and you got to feed the kids and get them dressed, and then you got to get them to the bus stop. I heard the other day their bus stop is at 6:50 in the morning. I'm like, are you kidding me? You got to get your kid up to the bus stop at 6:50 in the morning? No, and then they go to school, and then you go to work, and then after work, you got to beeline, get the kid. And I mean, it just, that's the way our life is today. Well, you know what? You can't give God quality time when your life is like that. Or at least it's difficult. And so when we do a fast, part of the purpose of the fast is that we say, man, enough. Time out for 48 hours. Right, I'm going to deny the physical stuff, and it's going to be screamed, but I'm going to deny the physical food that I might now pour in spiritual food. So we don't just not eat. That's called a diet, right? Instead, we pray, right? We pray. We read the Word of God. We read the Word of God. In fact, this place here will be open for 48 hours. So for 48 hours, the church will be open. You know, lights will be down. Have some music. We'll have these handbooks that will guide you, that will have you, you know, pray for our nation. Our nation could use some prayer. Amen. Right. Pray for our president, our Congress. Pray for our governor. Pray for our mayors. I mean, just a list, because we need that. We're in a crazy place as a nation. I'm like, oh my gosh, I never thought we'd end up where we're at. But you know what? We can either complain or do something about it. Amen. And so as God's people, we're going to take the 48 hours. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for our community. We're going to pray for our families. I mean, you've got it there. I pray for us. I pray for my kids. I pray for my kids, for my grandkids. I even pray for my great grandkids, and they're not here yet. I kid you not, I'm already praying for the line that's going to be coming. Why not? Why not? And so I want to encourage you to come. In fact, I'm wanting everybody to come, to slow down your life and these focus on the Lord. We actually, in the hallway, we have a sign-up sheet. You know, put an hour. Just come with your family. And, you know, when I come, I love it, because I'll come here and there'll be 12 different people praying in this place. In the middle of the night, we ask the men to come, like at 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. You know, the guys can come, so that way it's a safe place. And they can come and we pray. But we want to have 48 hours of continuous prayer in this place. And so that's what we do. We slow down long enough to focus on the Lord. Remember I mentioned about the king that called the fast? 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat was his name. It says, King Jehoshaphat feared. And sometimes we're fearful. We're fearful about the future sometime. We're fearful about what the doctor just said. In fact, my brother just texted me this morning. He's at the hospital down in Fresno, California. So he's asking me for prayer. He loves Jesus, knows Jesus. I tell you, he's a businessman. He's in construction. My brother, I'm so proud of him. He's up at 4 in the morning every day. 4 in the morning, spending time with Jesus. That's a pretty disciplined guy. Right? And he works hard for a living. But first, you know, he's like, hey, will you pray for me? I'm having this checked out, having that checked out. And that's a good thing. We said the whole King Jehoshaphat, he feared, and so he set himself to seek the Lord, and so he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. That's when he got a whole nation together, and he said, we got to find out what we're doing wrong. And so sure enough, they got together, they fasted and prayed, the Lord spoke to them. He gave them really a strategy for fighting. And so they went out, and then they were victorious. Right? We're victorious. So maybe you know, like, Lord, man, I'm at a crossroads. I don't know what I need to do. I don't know the next step. Ask him. Ask him. He'll tell you. All he asks is that you obey him. That's what he says. He doesn't like to waste his time any more than I do. Right? If you come and ask me for my opinion, and I know that you don't want to take my opinion, after a while, when I see you coming, I'm going to just like, you know, because I don't want you to waste my time. And yet we do the same thing with the Lord. Lord, what do you think about it? I don't like that. Right? No. He tells us that, he says, that kind of person, I'm not going to talk to him. But if you're willing to listen, I'd be glad to tell you. And so Nehemiah, the same thing in Nehemiah 1:4. Nehemiah was also in captivity. And so somebody came from Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah said, hey, how's things going in Jerusalem? And they said, well, it's not going good. And in fact, the city has been wiped out. The walls have been destroyed, which really was disheartening, because back in that day, the walls is what protected the city. And so he gets this news, and this is what he says. Because you and I, we get some bad news from time to time, right? It's just a matter of time before we get some bad news, just like Nehemiah. It says here, verse 4, Nehemiah 1. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I don't know if you've ever been hurt that bad. I don't know if you've ever been that low. I don't know if you ever received that kind of bad news where you're just like, man, this thing is bigger than me. If you haven't, you will one day. That's just part of life. It's part of life. Sometimes stuff comes at us, right? That's just bigger than us. And so I think we might be like Nehemiah and we say, Lord, man, I'm just weeping right now. I'm mourning. But this is what he did. He says, I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He's saying, Lord, I need you to carry me on this one. Lord, I need you to give me a solution. And the Lord did. And the solution he gave him favor with the king, that then Nehemiah was sent to rebuild the city. And he did an amazing job. If you want to study, if you're in management, if you want to study leadership principles, study Nehemiah. It's amazing what God did with him. But you know, when it comes to fasting, the portion of scripture that we're going to read in just a little bit, really in Isaiah 58, you have the nation, you have the people coming, and they come and they have times of fasting and praying. But in Isaiah 58, the Lord just calls them on stuff. He says, man, you guys come and you fast and you pray because you want me to bless you. You want me to do good stuff for you. You want me to answer you. You know, you want me to do all kinds of good stuff. And he goes, I understand that. But, you know, I've got a problem. He says, you come and you fast and you pray, but you're still oppressing your workers. You're still ignoring the homeless guy, right? The people that don't have nothing. You're still ignoring or stepping on the little guy. He goes, no, you need to take care of those things before you come and you ask me to bless you, right? I mean, so when we come to fasting and praying, we want to come with the right heart. In fact, in that booklet that I talked to you about, that one of the first things we do, it says to ask the Lord to examine your heart. So say, Lord, am I harboring any unforgiveness, any bitterness, whatever it might be, because I want to do business with you first, lay those things down, and then move on. But I got to tell you this. It's always a good practice. Say, Lord, will you check me out? Will you examine my heart? And I got to tell you, I got to tell you about the voice of the Lord. If it's a condemning voice, it's not His voice. See, there's one that condemns you, right? And sometimes you condemn yourself. Sometimes you're harder than anybody else is on yourself. But the Lord's voice is always tender, and He doesn't have to say much, and He always hits the target. Always hits the target. Like when I first got saved, the first thing that the Lord dealt with me was my language. I used to pride myself in cursing. I used to make up words. I was so proud of myself, right? I used to brag about, and so after I got saved, the first thing the Lord said, let's work with that. I tell you what, He delivered me overnight. Overnight delivered me. Because I said, okay, Lord, you're right. Let's deal with this. Gone. And then the next thing that He dealt with me was the boozing, right? The boozing. And I needed to be delivered from that because that caused other problems, right? But it was always very gentle and tender. So always make it a habit to say, Lord, let's do some work. And he'll work on this, and then he'll work on. He doesn't work on everything at once because you can't handle it. You can't handle it. So he's just so gentle. He's like, he's going to work on these things. But let him work on it. Amen? Let him work on it. So fasting, we want to come with the right heart. Right? We want to say, Lord, will you examine us? Right? We want to make sure that we are right. We're not harboring anything against people. So I want to look at now the benefits of fasting. So we looked at the three types of fasting. We looked at the purpose of fasting. Now I want to look at the benefits of fasting. I'm just going to give you four. I could give you more. I'm just going to give you four. Like I said, I think to me, the biggest benefit is just that it's going to slow me down to refocus on God. We need that. More than anything else, you need that. I want to get serious with God. And in fasting, you know, God may change my circumstances. He may. But I know this, most likely He's going to change me. And when He changes me, it's funny, my circumstances change, right? When He changes me, my circumstances change. You know why? Because I'm usually the problem. I would say, you know, my life would be perfect if not for the guy in the mirror. That guy causes me a lot of havoc. Can I get an amen on that one? He's my problem. He's my problem. That knucklehead. That's probably the only time the Lord says amen. Yeah, you got that one right. Here's the first thing, the first benefit of fasting. And it's when we fast, we begin to gain insight. Especially when we're digging into God's Word. When we're digging into God's Word, all of a sudden, He begins to give us insight as to who He is and what He has for us. Now, Isaiah 58:8 says this. Once again, he says, after you take care of the issue of your stuff, how you're treating people, and you come and you fast, he goes, some good things are going to happen. He says, then your light will break forth like the morning. He says, you're going to see light. You're going to have insight into things. into what God wants in the major areas of your life. You're going to go to the Lord and you're going to say, Lord, I'm at a crossroad. I don't know which way I should go, right? Maybe retirement is coming up. I don't know what you want me to do in retirement. Maybe I need to go to college, but I don't know which college to go. Maybe I'm sensing there's a career change. Or maybe I'm dating someone that I don't know if I'm wasting my time. Tell me, Lord. And he'll tell you. You heard me confess to you a few weeks ago that I almost married the wrong person a few times. Man, it would have been disastrous. But instead, the Lord brought me the most amazing woman, and we just celebrated 37 years this week. Praise Jesus, right? Yeah, she was the right one, but I'm almost married some scary people. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, you need to go to him and say, Lord, what do you say about this? Maybe it's job offers. Maybe it's finances. Maybe you're like, man, I'm not getting ahead of my finances. Ask the Lord. He'll tell you where it's broken down. He'll tell you. He'll turn on the lights. And through fasting and prayer, I encourage you, whenever you just need insight into something, spend the time fasting and praying, whether it's a day. Say, Lord, I'm going to take a day or 2 days. I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to get in your word. And you know, I'm going to write these questions I have, Lord, will you speak to me? And he will lead you, right? Here's the second thing that I think also in fasting that you'll gain healing, whether it's physical healing or emotional healing. Once again, Isaiah 58:8 says, your healing shall spring forth speedily. In other words, it'll get there quickly, right? Your healing is going to be there. Whenever you're in a place where there's no hope, right, from a human perspective, you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, will you help me? Because I need your help. You know, a lot of people... Probably they need more than anything else inner healing, right? The word breaks down is in here. I mean, a friend once told me this: there's no broken people, there's only brokenness. Right? There's no broken people. The Lord knew what he was making, but there's brokenness. In other words, and the brokenness is usually here. And especially when it comes to addiction, right? Addiction is really just our attempt to cover up the brokenness that's in here. Something is broken in here, and so we try to cover it up with alcohol or drugs or porn or whatever it might be. We try to, you know, just cover it up. And instead, what we should do is go before the Lord and say, Lord, you know everything. Will you show me what is broken in here? And we also, on Monday night, we have groups that deal with that hone in on those things. I would encourage you, if there's a brokenness in your life, come to one of our Monday night groups because they deal with that. And what happens when you let the Lord really fix what's going on in here, all of a sudden the addiction falls apart. It begins to just lose its power over you. It loses its power over you. You know, a lot of times the things that we say about ourselves, you know, a lot of the stuff really goes down to childhood. You know, some of the stuff that I picked up in childhood and it began to haunt me as an adult were things like this. And a lot of these things I brought upon myself. I grew up in a large Catholic family, right? We were good Catholics, although we never went to church. But I just thought, I'm a good Catholic, you know? But I never went to church. But, you know, people would ask me, you know, they say, where in the pecking order are you? Because we had, you know, there's 10 of us. Our family's family of 10. Where in the pecking order are you? And so I'd always say, I'm the middle one. But then I would say, I'm the neglected one. I'm glad you feel bad for me, Mike. Saturday service, they didn't feel bad for me. I know which service is tender. But I would say that. I'd say, you know, I'm the neglected one. But you know what? It wasn't true. But I began to believe that, right? I'm thinking, yeah, you know, my older brothers, they get to do everything. My younger brothers, they get a pass on stuff. But I'm the neglected one. And what happens is you bring that into adulthood. It's what becomes a stronghold. Really, a stronghold starts with a lie. Whether Satan introduces a lie or you pick up a lie or you tell yourself a lie, it starts with a lie and then it goes to an imagination. What the Bible talks about imagination, where you imagine it might be true or may not be true. And then becomes a stronghold when it's deep down. And the way you break a stronghold is by introducing the truth. That's the way strongholds are broken. And so we need to introduce the truth. You know, I'll tell you another, just since I'm being open to you, I'll tell you another lie that I used to tell myself. I have brothers. My older brothers are brilliant. Academically, they are some sharp guys. Academically, brilliant guys. So I would tell myself this. I'd say, yeah, my brothers are, just academically bright, but I'm social. I'm the social guy. You know what that was? It was just laziness. It was just an excuse for me to not work at my education as hard as they did. And I got away with it until I was a freshman in high school. This coach, I still remember his name, my teacher, Mr. Stott, English class that I took, I would always sit in the back, right? I was always sitting in the back, like those two back there, and goof around, right? And in this class, I was really goofing around because he's a coach and he knows me, right? He knows I'm the man, right? At least I taught myself, told myself. So I thought, man, I can really goof off on this class and he's gonna escape me through. He flunked me. The nerve of Mr. Stott. He flunked me. I'm like, dude, you know who I am. He wasn't impressed with me. I was impressed with me, but he wasn't impressed with me. He flunked me. Best thing that he ever did for me. Because from that day, literally from that day, right, I have sat all through high school and in college, I sat in the front row. That's how it poof, right? It awakened me. See, sometimes we need to go before the Lord and we say, Lord, this is what I'm saying about me. And Lord's going to say, no, I say something totally different. And I tell you what, that's the thing that's going to set us free, right? Because we pick stuff up from our childhood that we're telling ourselves and it's not true. And you need to be set free from that. Amen? You need to be set free. So the next thing, right, is when fasting, another reason we fast is to intensify our passion for God. Verse 8 again, it says, your righteousness will go before you. See, we get complacent down here. We, all of us, we can get complacent, we can get distracted. We live in the most distracting nation on the planet. It's easy to get distracted. So many things that are going on. And it distracts us. Like with me, I'm surprised that people even miss church. I'm grateful that when I was discipled as a young believer, the one thing I've gotten right is I'm in church. That's the one thing I got right. I'm there. Broken or whatever. I mean, when I first was saved, I would show up with booze on my breath at church. I mean, I did that for a long time, booze on my breath. I'm thinking, man, one day it's going to click for me. And it finally did. It finally did. But I'm grateful that nobody turned me away. In fact, there was these little old ladies, and I think Jesus sent these little old ladies. I think he set me up on purpose, right? I used to go to the church, and I'm a young, hip guy, right? And who comes to me? These little old ladies, and they want to hug me. I'm like, I mean, I reek of booze, partying all night, and they want to hug me. I'm like this, like hugging them, like breathing over here, as if they can't smell. No, I reek of booze, man. Right? But you know what's funny? It would bother me that I was kind of like lying to these little old ladies. But then the light bulb kind of went on. But wait a minute. Maybe I could quit drinking. Maybe that's the solution. Right? And thank the Lord that he broke that in me. And it was never a problem. Now I hug everybody. Right? I'm not worried about that now. Right? Go around hugging everybody. So that passion, right? Maybe during these 48 hours, we say, Lord, light the fire that was once there. Lord, refocus me. Make me passionate again. See, I'm going to deny this physical body that wants to just be complacent, Lord. And instead, Lord, give me the power to just follow through in what you've called me to do. And he'll do that, church. He really will. Tell him, reignite the fire. You know, whenever I'm worshiping here, I do that every time. I say, Lord, light the fire in me, man. Light me, Lord, breathe upon me. I see almost like a, like, you know, when you go camping and you've got just embers. I'm saying, Lord, put some wood on there and blow on it because I want to burn bright. And I pray the same thing for you guys. When you come here, I'm like, Lord, set them on fire again. Right? When they go out there, they can tell other people. That's what I want. Here's the fourth thing regarding fasting. So not only will fasting bring insight, not only will fasting bring healing, physical and emotional healing, not only will we do fasting and we ask God, stir us up, but the fourth thing in fasting we see in Isaiah 48, he says this, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, talking about protection. So in fasting, when I fast, I'm also asking protection for me, for my children, for my grandchildren. That rear guard means protection. And sometimes, you know, we go through seasons in which the enemy really comes at us. He really does. I don't know if you're in that kind of season where you're like, man, just the enemy's coming at us, right? And it's just 48 hours where we do something about it. It's like this, and forgive me that I you probably think he comes up with some weird analogies, but they're my analogies and they work for me. It's like this. Remember when you were a kid, and everybody had a friend like this or some kid in the neighborhood. Well, you're on your way to school and you're walking, and there's a kid behind you, and that kid wants to do what to your shoe? He wants to give you a flat tire. Annoying, right? Annoying. Well, in my neighborhood, when somebody gave you a flat tire, you turn around and you pop them one, like, knock it off. See, but the enemy, that's what he does. He comes and he gives us flat tires. He comes and he messes with us. He messes with our children. And we need to learn how to spiritually say, Lord, get him off my back. Get him off my back. And he will. Remember, Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. Right? Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil or the evil one. My translation, pray to me to get the enemy off your back. And it's during this 48 hours where I want you to learn how to fight back. I want you to learn to be stronger, right? To enter a different season in which you say, you know what? I'm not going to be his punching bag anymore. Now I'm gonna actually do something about it. I'm gonna come against him. Scripture tells us, draw near to God, resist the devil, right? That's part of what we're supposed to resist him, and he will flee. We say, enough's enough, right? He's stolen enough from me. So the ushers, I'm gonna ask them to come and hand out something to you. Come on down real quickly. And really this is a summary of what I just taught you. It's to help you, and there's some practical things like when you fast, drink a lot of water, right? Because it helps kind of with the detoxification. Also carry mints with you, because when your body's detoxifying, sometimes you have bad breath. So, you know, I'm just letting you know some real practicals. Those are for free. But here's what I want you to know. So look at me. What I want you to know. I'm talking to you, not your neighbor. So right now, tell your neighbor, he's actually talking to me. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, he's talking to me. Because usually when I do a message like this, we think, well, he must be talking to my neighbor. No, I'm talking to you. I literally want 100% participation. I want everybody to do this. Even if you've never done it, give it a try. Give it a try. I said, I'm going to do it. Because I want breakthrough in my life. I'm tired of where I'm at. Remember the word the Lord gave us at the beginning of the year was press on. He said, if you press on, if you do your part, I'll do my part. I'll give you breakthrough. So we're going to press on. Amen?